Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, the beginning of February. It's the 2nd. We're on to heading into
the abyss.
The abyss of 2016.
Things are ugly, man. You know, since we last talked. Yeah, but since we last talked, there's some really funky stuff going on. Well, I'll give you an example. First of all, do you have the? You can see all the things. Kind of, I have notes on, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because the last time we got a lot of tweets that people were like, "Oh, they thought the best part of the show was John fumbling around looking for the email." I don't know exactly.
I don't remember even doing that.
I don't remember either, but it was something about clicking somewhere. Anyway, let me tell you what's going on. First of all, the results from little game that we played, we'll talk about that in a little while, but just to let you know, there's another chance coming up on this. But since last week, there's some really interesting things that happened in the market. Markets were peeling over, and on Thursday night over in Japan, the Bank of Japan shocked everybody by actually going and implementing negative deposit rates.
Yeah, we've seen this before.
We've seen it only once before. It was the
Greece, wasn't it?
No, well, Europe. Yeah, Europe. They did that recently. Major experiment in stimulus, which has never really been tested at all.
It's dumb.
I mean, I think they did it in a couple. There was a couple of instances that it was done prior, and the whole idea is to keep money out of the safekeeping.
Out of the banks.
Right, yeah, right. Well, here's the problem. First of all, in Japan, they're major savers. So the idea is to have very, very low interest rates, causing people not to keep their money in the banks to go out and spend it. But they'd rather put it under their mattress. They've always been savers.
That's exactly what will happen.
Right.
So, or gold.
So now what they're talking about is, just on the heels of this before we finish this, they're talking about, well, if that's the case, then we're just going to have to outlaw money. Now, Japan's not talking about this, but there's a lot of murmur about outlawing cash, going fully digital.
Yeah.
That would be a disaster. Well,
they've experimented with this in Sweden. I think Netherlands has got some program underway, and I think the Scandinavian countries will be the first in Europe.
I just can't see how that's a good idea.
It's not. I don't think it's a good idea at all.
They could totally mess with the value of your assets that way.
Yeah.
In a really direct way versus...
I don't know why the public puts up with the idea.
Yeah. Well, they're not. So when this happened...
Well, the Japanese public won't.
No.
Because the entire of Asia, if that's the proper sentence, they totally dislike this idea.
Right.
And the Chinese will never go for it.
You know, it's interesting. Last week, or about a week and a half ago, I believe it was, the gent who is the Yellen equivalent over in Japan, who is extremely dovish and done all sorts of crazy things with the Abenomics. And when he speaks, a lot of times you see that the yen moves and markets move, etc. He came out with a comment that it was not time, week and a half ago or so, 2 weeks ago, this is not the time for negative rates. And fast forward, out of the blue, when everybody was saying that the Bank of Japan is not going to do anything, they come up with this crazy idea to implement negative deposit rates. Now, here's some of the problems that happens with that. Well, bank profits are going to be possibly cut because any money they have on reserve at the time, which is a heap of money, will be hit with a penalty, right? And they can't move all of it out. So they said in the same commentary, but about 20 minutes after they announced this negative rates, that what we're going to do is we are going to do this. First of all, we're not going to do it on current assets that are on deposit, only new assets. And secondly, we're also going to make it so that banks don't get a hit to their earnings on this.
How's that work?
I have no idea. I was scratching my head. Now you could see the move in the banks. First of all, the banks plunged once the announcement was made about negative deposit rates. And then the yen was all over the place. Their markets were just crazy. As soon as they talked about how it's only on new assets and there was somehow this scheme, and I use the word scheme, very much scheme-like, to not have banks take a hit. So if the fact is to have banks penalized if they have money on deposit, but yet if they do so, not penalize them by hurting their profits, doesn't that net itself out to nothingness? There was nothing happened?
Well, I know one thing that might happen is that they do this and they say only new deposits before they put it in play. Everyone will put their money in the bank, increasing the overall net deposits.
Possibly. And
that's what I would do if I wanted to, you know, store my money in the bank.
And the same thing with the banks putting money on deposit. It's mostly on the banks putting money on deposit at the central bank. That's the primary issue. Making sure that the banks will take the money out and lend it, put it into, you know, private investment, any kind of deals that are out there, bonds, things of that nature. So in other words, they push up the risk factor of the investments of banks. So now the yen, after all this is said and done, things turn around dramatically. The yen absolutely plummets like 2.5%. Their markets go up like 3%. Over here, overnight, things are very uncertain. But by the end of the session over there, things are up so nicely. Everybody's like, okay, well, things are good. More stimulus, more possible investment in stocks and things of that nature, risk assets. So our markets fly. The Dow's up, I don't know, 400-something points on Friday. Now, this is a combination of short covering into the weekend, as well as the fact that oil was turning around pretty strong at that point, because it was also a rumor. Very well, this all well orchestrated if it was done this way. There was rumor that Russia and several of the OPEC nations were going to possibly do something to stabilize the prices of oil. So oil went up, I don't know, some ridiculous amount for the 2 days. Now, when those rumors were squashed, we see what happened to oil, now trading at about $29.50, down about 7% today. And the market's here rolling over. The yen moving up in value, almost three-quarters of the way back to where it was before this announcement. And overnight, as we see oil continue to plummet, we see that the banking profits in Japan are just obliterated. We see that Sony and Samsung and Sharp have just, with all of the low yen, they can't make any money. So this whole bullshit.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The whole thing is just absolutely insane. And they keep on doing the same thing over and over again, and it's just not working. I don't know why they won't wake up and just figure, you know, they figure maybe, all right, this time, if we really press it hard, it's going to do something. But it's not. So I don't know what their thinking is. They're just going to take down this whole thing. They're so desperate. This is such a sign of desperation by the Bank of Japan. I think that's what everybody sniffed out when the dust settled over the weekend and there was a realization that, wait a minute, this is getting pretty ugly and this is pretty bad if all this is happening. Banking profits are just terrible there. If you look, actually, if you scroll down a little bit, I put up an image of the monthly, year-to-date, 3 month and 1 year returns on U.S. and a few European banks. Can you see that?
Click for bank performance.
Yeah, take a look at that.
Okay.
Look how horrible that is.
It's all red.
There's one little greenie in there, but or two little greenies.
Crazy green for some reason.
But you have Texas Bank shares. We know that that bank is right in the middle of the, you know, right in the middle of hell with all that's going on, right? We see that over this last, let's see what period it is. Year to date, listen to these numbers, right? Huntington Bank shares down 23.5%. Year to date, Texas Bank shares 31%.
Year to date from January 1st.
Right, we're talking about 1 month.
To now.
Right.
A month.
Bank of America down 21%. Citigroup down 21%. Morgan Stanley down 23%. Goldman down 15%. JP down 13%. Now, the European banks, there's some real concern about what's going on with the European banks. Now, they again have negative interest rates there. They have incredible stimulus that's going on by the ECB. They have a very favorable currency situation, right? Deutsche Bank down 30%. They have their own problems, but Deutsche Bank down 30%. 1 year down 41%. Credit Suisse down 23%. Barclays 23%. BNP Paribas down 21%. Royal Bank of Scotland 22%. Banco Santander down 21%. SocGen in France down 24%. I mean, it just goes on and on. That's just year to date. So something, it can't be just oil, because if it was just oil, you would see that Texas Capital Bank shares would be down, you know, 31% year to date or so. However, you know, maybe some of the big banks wouldn't be hit so hard. Pretty ugly situation.
No, they're blaming stuff. Everybody blames things on oil.
Right.
You know, which is nonsense.
Or the weather.
Oh, the weather.
The weather.
Yeah, it is January.
It's the weather
February
situation.
Now.
We're seeing that the yen is continuing to drop. It's at 119 and change now. The euro is moving up in value. Oil is stabilizing.
Why is the pound so low?
The pound low against the dollar. It's been coming off. I mean, the whole, I don't know.
Generally speaking, it rarely goes below a $1.50. It's a $1.44.
Yeah, the whole world is a mess right now. They're really, as you nailed this a year ago. You nailed this. You said the collapse of markets is going to be due to central bank tinkering.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're the one that suggested it first.
Well, no, you are.
You suggested that because of the central bank tinkering, it makes the market a joke.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it creates all sorts. And now they've gone to such extremes that it is creating a unnecessary amount of currency wars, creating a tremendous amount of stress on commodity prices. You know, everything they're doing, I just don't understand how they don't see this. They need to stop.
Yes, that would be a great idea.
Just stop.
Stop.
Yep. So now we have the NASDAQ is falling pretty hard after hours. Dow was down 300 points today. Let's see. We're hitting the lows right now. Down 31 points again on the NASDAQ. 12 points on the S&P 500. The Dow is off by another 100 right now. The futures in Japan, that was down 3.5%. The Hang Seng down another 3.5%. Hong Kong, and then you have a Shanghai down also. The whole world is just getting just squashed. And this is, again, on the heels of some of the earnings that we've seen from many of the companies throughout the world that they're struggling. You would think that with the strong dollar and us being a net importer that we would be able to really prop many of these companies, you know, their income up, but it's just not happening. Terrible. Manufacturing.
Yeah, it's a complete mess.
Yep.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep. And as we
although this still looks like a correction to me, the market.
Yeah, well, of course. I'm not saying if correction or whatever you want to call it. You know, the fact of the matter is that it's just really getting kind of, the volatility is really a little long in the tooth right now. Although the VIX is only at about 22 right now, which is really interesting. We're back to the situation where we're seeing that orderly declines, not just one. You know, with the VIX, if you see a massive move, it's usually, okay, that's a shocking event. Let's move on. But it's not moving up as much as you would think it should. You know, with a 300-point day on the Dow, we saw that the VIX was only up 10%, which is a lot, but from a very low point, right? It was 21. So it was 20. That's still not a very high level for the VIX.
No.
Now, we had some news on natural gas. I guess this could be, I was wondering, maybe Punxsutawney Phil came out today, didn't see his shadow.
He didn't?
I guess not. That's what I saw, unless it was old news.
So that means summer's around the corner?
Right around the corner, which I guess, I don't know if this had to do with what went on with natural gas today, I'd be surprised. But natural gas was below $2 today. Last few days sold off like crazy. I don't know if it's because of thinking that there is some real predictive qualities to this hedgehog or whatever it is.
Here's a question I have about the hedgehog or the...
What is it? It's a hedgehog.
Some sort of vermin. if it's him seeing the shadow himself, he has to see the shadow.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you could just put a stick in the air, and if there is a shadow, then you could make that prediction, right? You don't need the groundhog.
Right.
If that's the case, where you actually need the groundhog to see his shadow, what would be the effect of having a big spotlight? So when he's, even though it was dark out and kind of no, you know, there's no sun out, the spotlight hit him in the back, he saw a shadow, would that have the same effect?
You know, I don't know. This is thousands of years, I guess. Although, of people saying, "Oh, we're going to use for whatever reason, we've calculated, we've noticed every time that guy comes out of his little den over there, that particular den right over there, you know, it's, you know, this is like anything else. It's like another reason to drink. I mean, what else is this good for? It's another reason to have a party. Because
I think they should also, I think another thing I've noticed with these coincident indexes, they should move the Super Bowl back into January. Because we're missing, you know, the Super Bowl is always predictive.
Yeah.
When the American League wins, something happens. And when the National League wins, the other thing happens. Well, it's kind of like when it shows up on February 11th or 7th or whenever the game is. I guess it's next to the 7th. It's already, you missed a whole month.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's something called the January barometer.
Yeah, when the market goes up or down in January, the whole year is that way.
Predicated on what happens in January. So there's a guy on, I happened to catch like 5 minutes of CNBC this morning, and there's a guy from S&P, I think his name is Sam Stovall. There was actually two guys on recently from the S&P that I thought were like, time to retire. You know, these guys have been around forever. One guy was on a few weeks ago or a week and a half ago, and he had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. And I'm not just saying this from my perspective, but the people on the desk were saying to him, I can't believe you're saying that. That's not right. That's not the information that's out there. Not in a opinion-based question or opinion-based response he had. It was a factual point. It's like, you know, oh.
It's like me coming out and saying, wow, the market really kicked butt today.
Right. Or, you know, oil's at 50.
Oil's at 50.
What are you talking about?
Looking good.
Right. So, I mean, he had like a few comments like that. That's one thing. The other guy, today Sam Stovall comes out and he talks about the January barometer. He says, you know, when the January barometer is up, it's a good indicator. When it's down, it's not really a good indicator. I'm thinking, wait a minute. What is he saying here? When it's up, it's a good indicator because more times than not, January or the year is up. I mean, that's a usual situation. You see the annual S&P returns are up more on a time basis than they are down. And he's saying that when it's up, it's a good indicator. When it's down, I was thinking, is this guy just bullish and he doesn't want to say that if it's down, well, that's a really bad sign for the rest of the year?
Huh, somebody bullish on CNBC?
Yeah.
Let me write this down. Yeah. What was the date again?
Breaking news. But yeah, I just thought the whole thing was so ridiculous. But anyway, so, you know, this is the kind of information you get on this. But I was really pleased that they called him out. That was good to see. Joe Kernan usually kind of lets things go. But he's, you know, being much more, you know, he's been much more abrasive than normal lately.
Intolerant.
Yeah. And I thought that was really good. But these are the kind of things you see. You know, you see everybody making some kind of analysis based on some, you know, short-term situation without a lot. And then they're allowed to publish it and come out with these ridiculous commentary. Some guy tonight was I caught it in the evening also for about 5 minutes. This one segment, this guy was talking about how the European banks are, there's about 10 of them that he thinks are going to zero. So they said, well, why do you think that? Well, you know, I can't be sure on all of these, but I looked at the charts and they look really bad. I'm like, well, what's going to make them go to zero? Well, there's a lot of problems there and they really haven't cleaned up their balance sheets and things like that. And the chart's a little kind of ugly looking. I'm like, dude. How could you be talking about this on the air if you know, with this and why are you letting that?
With no backup.
Nothing. Nothing at all. So just a little lesson to our listeners to stay away from the crapola on the mainstream media.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
Yep. Google, Alphabet, whatever the hell you want to call it.
I found this to be interesting, too.
Yeah. They unseated Apple as the most valuable company in the world.
It's a search engine.
Well,
with all these little side projects which aren't making any money.
I mean, you got YouTube, which is a break even, I guess. You got a couple of other things that are freebies that make some money. But listen, you know, one of the things that Google did right was this whole thing where when you have a cookie on your computer and then you go somewhere and for the next like 10 days, if you go to a site, you see that site popping up and you're like, oh gosh, how'd they know I was interested in that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty smart.
So, and yeah, like when you buy something from Amazon and then 10 days later, they ask you if you want to buy another one.
Right.
It's the same ad. Yeah, I keep wanting to buy shotguns all the time.
Right. Or if you make that
too many.
If you make that mistake of hitting on clicking a link somewhere and it's like a website with porn or something like that, Next thing you know, that every single time you turn your computer on and there's an ad, it's for a porn site.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you want to, yes. You know, you look up something like, you want to buy a gift for somebody, children's toys. You look up children's toys, you click something like, oh no, that's not right. That's just not the right place. So the next thing you know, somebody's like, let me use your computer. I want to look something up. You're like, dude, what are you looking at? I'm telling you, it wasn't me. It's not what I was looking for, you know? So anyway, Google did have more paid clicks at a lower cost per click. That was good. They beat their earnings by a wide margin. The stock was up like 6% or so after hours. It beat out Apple by a wide margin. I guess it's, although Apple is down today. So if Apple wasn't down today, I am not quite sure that the Google move on the day would have been enough or been really close to topping Apple in terms of market size. But you're right. It's pretty amazing. Now, the other thing that you have to remember, because this is something I was thinking about today, and I was thinking the same thing. It's a search engine, right? However, what is the other thing they make a lot of money from?
Phones. Actually, I don't know. You know, they don't like to break this stuff out, but I guess Android's paying off big time.
Big time. Which,
and of course, that's a sleazy thing if you think about it, because here you had Eric Schmidt in the so sleazy but smart. Eric Schmidt.
That's the kind of stuff we like.
The Apple board of directors. And you know that Apple was talking about the iPhone at least a year or more before they, talking about it in the board, a year or more before they rolled it out. But that gave Google the chance to jump the gun and start developing it secretly as a kind of a parallel project. So within just almost no time at all, the Android device was out there.
And
if you had waited for the Apple iPhone to show up and then say, oh, we got to start going in this direction, it would have taken it. Probably they would have been behind at least a year or more.
Yeah. Well, and also Android's on more smartphones than Apple is.
Oh, yeah, by a lot.
By a wide margin.
Yeah, because it's free, more or less.
Exactly. So, and they're making, I don't know how they make exactly their money on this, but they make a heap of money on it. So essentially what you have here is two phone companies that are now competing with each other, right? With one that has a much better search. So they're catching up with that. Plus other products. I mean, Apple has a whole infrastructure of products, obviously. I'm not talking about just the hardware, but you know, you have their Beats music, you have the iTunes store, you have their iTV or Apple TV.
You know, have the store.
Right. That's enormous. So
Google, Microsoft has stores and they haven't quite, I mean, they performed. And they haven't started shutting any down, so that's probably okay. Google doesn't have a store.
No.
I don't know what they'd do if they did have one. I don't know what they'd sell, but...
Well, the problem is that it's the same thing that Microsoft ran into for years, is that if they're going to have a store, they don't have a single product. It's just the same thing as having a Best Buy. They'd have to put everybody's products in there.
Right. Well, Apple puts a lot of alien products in their stores.
Yeah, but the core of Apple stores are their products.
Right. And I think Microsoft's the same way. That's why I believe they had to bring out computers,
right,
to have something to sell.
You know who's gonna? This is unbelievable. Do you know what other very successful internet-based company is going to be supposedly rolling out lots of stores? This is shocking.
Amazon.
Yep. You knew that?
Yeah.
I don't really quite understand that. If their whole goal was to put these other bookstores out of business, and they're going to open bookstores. It seems a little illogical to me. I I'm having a hard time understanding this.
I think they're outlet centers for same day deliveries.
Okay. And then they just happen to have a front end.
Yeah.
So that you could, or you could pick things up.
Yeah. Or drop things off when you're returning things. Right now they already have some of these little operations. There's one in Berkeley. It's part of some other store, but it's in the back and it's all these little boxes, and you get a code in your email, and you go to the little store, and then you pop the code into some computer, and it opens, boing, one of the doors opens, and you put your stuff in there and close it, and you're done.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's actually quite, I thought it was kind of slick.
Mm. Now, the big loser this week, there was a couple of losers. Amazon was a loser, actually, of their earnings. Their earnings were pretty good, although they're guiding down significantly. They put out earnings estimates of something like, we want to let you know that we're going to earn somewhere between $80 million and $1 billion. It's like, how am I, what am I supposed to do with that?
Nothing.
Nothing. So they come out with their numbers. The stock is rising dramatically into the numbers. And I said, that's a, just a very bad thing. You know, it was up 8% on the expectation that something exciting is going to happen, especially because it was post the Facebook number, which was, Facebook was up 15% on their report, which was actually a good report. The monthly active users, the numbers are staggering. Everybody's using Facebook. And I've decided, by the way, I'm off. I'm on Facebook, but I'm stopping.
You're quitting?
I'm not quitting. I'm just not. For about a month, I had an experiment that I would go on there and maybe post a few things, and you know, outside of what I usually do. And but you know what happened? My biggest fear came true.
Okay.
I was up in Orlando last week visiting my son, and you know, you have relatives around and things like that, right? And people you know and all. And I was just in there for a day and a half, and we're doing our thing. And I took a picture of this really nice flower, and I said, "Oh, this is early morning walk in Orlando. What a beautiful flower." About 2 hours later, I get a text message. "Oh, you're in town and you didn't call me?" I'm like, oh, oh, you know, I'm like, I'm not trying to, I would, I don't have any time. I would see if I could, but then you got that whole thing going on. I'm like, you know what? I'm not doing this. So my Facebook days are over. They were, I mean, and it's interesting to look here and there, but I'm not going to really post too much.
I don't have an account, so I don't know.
You don't have an account at all?
No.
Huh. Hmm.
No, I never signed up for it. I felt that you don't only need so much social media, and I'm pretty active on Twitter and LinkedIn. And what do I need this for? What's it going to do? What am I going to get out of it? I just didn't think it was. And it's, everyone seems to be addicted to it in some sick way. I didn't like it.
Yeah. It's like virtual voyeurism.
Yeah, it is. Or something. Yeah, or something. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
so listen to this. Yahoo is coming out with their earnings. They came out with their earnings tonight. And first announcement that's kind of running around is that they're going to do a big layoff, about anywhere from 1,700 to 2,500 employees. But of course, Marissa Mayer is not one of them, the one that should go. Then the stock's trailing down. They come up with some commentary that there's going to be a major restructuring plan announced after the earnings announcement. What does that tell me? Earnings are not going to be so good.
That would be my guess.
Okay. Then stock's down like 4%. 330, the stock rockets. Because now there's some chat about that word, the famous word strategic alternatives that they're going to announce. So the stock ramps. Again, it's probably some kind of a rumor of sorts.
Sounds like a great stock to day trade.
Oh, yeah. They come out with earnings, and guess what? They shit the bed. Terrible.
It goes down again.
Yeah, stock's down like 4% or so. They announced they're also going to do this major restructuring, and all this is going on. Now, there's also some discussion about some lawsuits against Yahoo regarding their stacking process for employee elimination, the whole employee review process.
Oh, they're doing stack ranking.
They did that.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they did that, yeah.
That's very douchey.
Yep, they did that. That was one of the big things that she implemented, I believe. I think Microsoft did it for a while, too. I think they stopped
it. Oh, right. Somebody was telling me about this at work. They're saying that Marissa came in and implemented stack ranking, which is it's a sick process.
Yeah, it's like, what's that show with the island? You're off the island?
Yeah, as a survivor.
Yeah, it is a survivor. But they don't do that at the top levels, right?
Well, no, you don't need it up there.
Terrible people. Anyway, there's some kind of a potential lawsuit into the unfair practices of their...
Keep these guys in court.
Employee, yeah, exactly, on their process. A couple of things. So with the markets rolling over as much as it is, and with some of the uncertainty out there, I couldn't believe this today when I saw it, actually. The 10-year Treasury is at a yield of 1.87. This is with the Fed talking about increasing rates.
Yeah.
And it's below 2.
Yeah.
Amazing. The recent low was about 1.5% back in 2012 when the Fed was doing all-out press. Now,
another thing now that I think about it. Why would you keep your money or put your money in a Japanese bank when you can put it in an American bank and not have it go down in value, or just buy some of these, even though they're hardly anything, but it's better than losing your money.
Yeah. And that's why there's so much money coming into the treasuries. When you have German bunds at negative yields, and you have various European bonds so low, and so the whole idea is actually, while they don't want to run on the banks and taking the money out of the banks, they want to reduce down their currency, and by doing so, they create a mini movement, or a big movement really, of money out of the country, which drops their currency. Right, because you have to repatriate or unpatriate your money,
right,
from the current currency base into another one, and what happens is it goes into the out into the yen or whatever currency drops, and that's why the dollar is moving up so much, and into treasuries which are being bought. Very bad, very bad. I guess we got to talk about the Iowa caucus.
You don't have to.
Okay, let's move on. Trump, I know that he made some kind of announcement. Did you see the Stephen Colbert Trump debate?
No.
Oh, you got to look this up.
I think that was a rerun from a month or so ago.
No, it was because he talked about when Trump pulled out of the debate. So it had to be new.
Oh.
And basically okay. What he did was had Trump on one side and Trump on the other side. And asking him questions. And it was very interesting how
Trump will do these bits, by the way. I think it's interesting. He does it with Fallon, too.
Right.
He will do skits.
But it wasn't him. It was recordings of him.
Oh, okay.
So he had like, okay, Mr. Trump, tell me what you think about.
You could have a ball if you're going to do that.
Yeah, tell me what you think about Ted Cruz. Nobody likes him. Nobody knows him, likes him. Everybody that meets him doesn't like him. He's not a likable guy. I don't like him. He's a terrible guy. And then he goes to the other Trump. And he says, he calls one Mr. Trump and one Donald. And he calls when he puts them together, his name is Dump. He says, Donald, what do you think about Cruz? I like him. I like Ted Cruz. Nice guy. You know? And he goes on and on with all of these various contradictions that Trump has made over the last couple of years. Very funny.
Yeah, who knew he was such a politician?
And then he ends with one comment where Trump says, Ivanka, if Ivanka wasn't my daughter, I'd probably be dating her. It was like, ew.
Yeah, that was a few months back. I remember that. It was funny.
How are you even thinking about
grossed
something like
everybody
that? Up. All right, so if we're not going to talk about the terrible disease of the politics and all that, let's talk about this whole Zika virus.
Yeah.
Which is started out last week or something like that as there's something out there. There's something out there that is causing women that are pregnant to have children that have microcephalus.
Yeah, we talked about this on the last No Agenda show because I was looking into it. And there's something fishy about it. This virus has been around since the 30s and 40s. And it never did this before. It's never been known for having any effects like this. It's just always seen as some sort of like West Nile or some just an innocuous little cold you get or sickness you get. Now all of a sudden it's causing people to have babies that have shrunken heads, which is pretty gruesome looking. I'm totally convinced that it's not the virus that's causing this, and we've got evidence from guys from the WHO who said there's absolutely no proof that the virus is causing this. It's just a coincidence.
Well, but the WHO just came out with a call that
this was because of public pressure. I got the guy from the WHO on tape talking about how there's no connection. And then this was on Deutsche Welle, German television. And this woman was badgering him about, why don't you do something? Why don't you do something? Well, we don't really have any proof. Why don't you do something? So they finally gave in and did something, but it doesn't mean anything. It's not going to change anything.
Now there's a report, though, that there's another report. Not only is it spread by mosquitoes and particularly
not spread by sex.
Sexual contact.
Uh-huh.
How do they figure that, by the way? First of all, okay, were you bitten by a mosquito? No. Have you had sex? Yes. Well, that's what it is.
No, they actually studied some male sperm in one of these instances, and they found the virus in the sperm, in the goo, in the liquid. So they say.
So did he have to be bitten in the ball?
Yeah, that was it. So there's something very suspicious about this, and I... I read an essay with some guy speculating, and he says that Brazil, which is one of the number one users of fungicides, herbicides, and insecticides, and many of them experimental and many of them banned every place else, may find that this is really the cause, because these shrunken heads are only in Brazil. They're not showing up in Mexico. Mexico is filled with these with people getting this virus, but Brazil is where all the action is. That's where all the shrunken heads are. And I think it's some nasty chemical that they're going to just sweep under the rug, and then they'll come out with a vaccine for the. This is one of those viruses you can get a vaccine. I think you can make a vaccine.
No, there is not.
No, there's not now. I said, but it seems like I'm guessing it's going to be one that you can make pretty quickly. You can design pretty quickly because it's not like a mutating crazy thing like AIDS, and then they'll just sweep it under the rug, which really caused the problem. I'll bet you it's some herbicide.
So do you think there's possibly a play on...
there would be a play if you could figure out what herbicide it was, that's for sure.
What about if we find a company that specializes in extra small hats?
No, that is the worst thing. You should cut that from the show. That is sick. Extra small hats. Beanies. Yeah, that's the...
Well, we'll think of something.
For kids with these little heads, it's just gross.
Is it micro? Yeah, it's terrible. Is it only their heads, or is it also the hands where they have? Is that, you know what I mean? Where
I don't know about that. I mean, all I know is it's pretty hard to look at one of these kids.
Mm. Yeah. Well, supposedly, like, there was some ridiculous number in, like, was it Mexico? Now, I know Brazil was one, but there was some other country. It's like 3,500 cases all of a sudden.
No, I think this is Brazil. All these numbers come from Brazil. Maybe I'm wrong.
And now you have the Olympics.
There is just something else involved in this. This is not their virus. It's been around too long. Why did it all of a sudden cause this problem?
Well, and now you have the Olympics coming to Brazil, which they're already, you know, screaming at this emergency here. And the government of Brazil had to cave into you know, saying, hey, wait a minute. This is going to be a problem for... Well, it's going to be a boon or a bust for the companies that have travel insurance.
Well, I'll tell you this. Yeah, no, that could be. But I'll tell you this. I think there is a play on whoever the manufacturers of these insect repellents are. That's what I would look into.
I have a pick related to this.
Yeah?
For the game at the end of the show. Not on the insecticide, which is interesting to look at. Isn't it like a Monsanto or a... You know, one of those companies, a Procter & Gamble. I mean, what is that insect company called? What is that stuff called? Off? Let's see. Who makes...
Yeah, Off, the DEET and some other stuff.
Off? Off. Let's see.
I bet you that's already up.
Where to buy? Right, off.com. Off.com. U.S. pages default. Default. Okay. I'm sorry, we're out of... Let's see. Off. Okay, a family. Oh, it's Johnson.
Johnson. Oh,
it's a family. It's a Johnson company. So I don't know. Are they actually publicly? SC Johnson. Are they public?
Yeah, SC Johnson is public.
It is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Let's see here if I can find SC Johnson. What is that? Our company. All right, I'm looking. Our company, scjohnson.com. And the page doesn't open. Let's contact us. Now it just locked up my system. Okay. Let's see, sejohnson.com. Family, it's a family company. So that means when they say family, it probably means not
private.
It's private.
Not traded.
Yep. They make Windex, Ziploc, Duck, whatever Duck is, Raid, Glade, Mr. Muscle, Pledge, Kiwi, Off. They make a bunch of products here, man. More. Shout, Scrubbing Bubbles, Drano. That's what this company makes. So we got to find another company. That's not the one. But all right, let's continue on here. Comcast, you know, I mentioned this some time ago, this whole thing where Comcast, when you have a Wi-Fi from Comcast, that they open a port so that anybody that has an Xfinity account can actually log on to your system and utilize your Wi-Fi signal.
Yeah.
So I've been, you know, driving, you know, drive around and all that. And lately I've been like, what is going on here? I can't get, not that I use my phone when I'm driving, but if I did. I'm like, what's going on with it? Can't get anything going on. And I notice I'm on Wi-Fi. I'm just driving around and I'm on Wi-Fi. Mm. And it turns out that it keeps on picking up the Xfinity signal whenever I stop at a light or whenever I'm going through a neighborhood. It picks up a signal, just holds on to it. And then I stop again. So it's amazing to me that unbeknownst, I think, to a lot of people, that everybody is possibly piggybacking off of other people's Wi-Fi. I mean, I could sit outside somebody's home technically and just blow out their bandwidth, right?
This used to be scandalous and illegal, supposedly.
Right. Remember, it was called Wi-Fi squatters, right?
Yeah.
And if you were to sit outside, because everybody would have open Wi-Fis. But essentially what they did was they created open Wi-Fi for you. Now, you have to have an Xfinity account. Don't get me wrong. But still, it's the equivalent, it seems to me.
Yeah, it seems like it to me, too.
Yeah. Got to shut that down.
Not to back up, but I'm going to back up anyway. 3M makes Ultrathon insect repellent.
3M. So
3M's a play.
Okay, that's good. All right. MMM is a symbol on that. I wonder if like a DuPont or Dow Chemical makes it. I don't know. Maybe they make
think,
that.
But.
And there's some natural ones out there, too. I don't think they're publicly traded, though.
No. There's a company called Sawyer that makes I think it's natural, maybe. This is Sawyer Permethrin clothing insect repellent. Repels and kills more than 55 types of insects. Poison. It kills them.
Right. Might as well just, yeah.
Kid's going to buy that. Yeah, yeah. You have the shakes. Anyway, okay.
Did you see the movie The Big Short?
Not yet.
So I saw it. It angered me. I knew it would.
It angered you.
Yeah, I knew it would.
You know, that's funny you say that because that's one of the reasons I didn't want to see it.
Right. No, I didn't want to see it either. My wife said, let's see it. I'm like, no, I don't like seeing any of those. They just piss me off.
Because it makes you mad.
Just, you know what? I lived through it. I'm not, I you know, even though we came out pretty well from it and actually made some money on it, I'm just not interested. So there was a line in there that I thought was really interesting. They said, somebody said, when things finally started getting ugly, they said, it's starting. It's finally starting. Something that they had been predicting for a while, and it wasn't very apparent. It's starting. Well, I'm going to use that line. It's starting. ExxonMobil profits down 58%. BP profits down 90%. High yield bonds are still collapsing. We're seeing that,
you're thinking the bond market's starting, that what everyone's been predicting for the last 3 years?
Not the bond market, but the high yield bond market. The other bond market's doing just fine. But you could see that there is, between the bank issues and the banks getting hurt by much of the holdings they have and the concern about the holdings they have in the oil sector, whether it's the bond holdings or unsecured debt loans or revolvers that they have, or if it's the profits of these companies. I mean, BP was down like 8% today. And this is, I mean, they're down to ridiculous levels. I think lower than it was after that BP Horizon deal. Exxon profits down 58%. I mean, 58%, that's a lot of money. So, and the longer that oil stays, the problem is it's not just a quick move. Like oil went from 100 to 50, now it's back to 75. The longer oil stays at these levels, the worse it is for companies. I think I told you about this, or maybe I didn't. I tweeted this, actually. I got gas in Orlando. It was $1.72.
My wife called me from the gas station saying she's buying gas at $1.79.
Yeah, and you're still paying like $3.50 in California.
No, it's about, I'd say right now for regulars, about $2.25.
Yeah, all right, that's much better. But this is a real problem because now you're starting to squeeze it from every angle here.
Yeah.
And if there was a conspiracy to create a problem in the U.S. and potentially the world by some of the powers in the Middle East, it's working pretty well. So, I got to tell you that there's going to be some fallout soon because the hedges are coming off for some of these smaller companies that have been pumping, and that's why they've been able to withstand some of this, to a degree, some of these problems. But once these hedges come off and they have to actually sell it at those prices, they're in big trouble.
Mm.
Big trouble. So I think that a lot of what's happening in the markets right now is, and the reason why we see such a high correlation of oil to the price of markets and how things are pouring over, I mean, it's a real problem. Why would Japan, the country does not have any oil exports at all, be having such a problem and can't get inflation moving, and their banks are still in shambles again. Things are moving besides from the negative interest rates. Why are they having such a problem with profitability across the board if there's really no oil sector. I don't get it. You know, supposedly everybody's saying, well, the big problem with the S&P is the oil sector is really the big problem. And if you take out the oil sector, things are looking okay. And we really saw profits increase by 5 or 6%. And, you know, you hear all this that goes on. But I'm starting to think, man, I think they have the head so far up their ass, they don't even know what they're talking about at this point. Now, we'll see. At the end of this week, we have the big jobs number coming out on Friday, first Friday of the month. And last month, if you recall, it was a great number, but there was a tremendous amount of end-of-year calculations and seasonal adjustments that came in that really pumped the number, supposedly. And there was some discussion that it would have really only been an 11,000 add if it wasn't for the, you know, the annual readjustment and recalculation, which would be a problem. Now, we did
see... Well, I'll be interested to see what the numbers is. Yeah, I would think they'd go up.
You would think
except for the oil sector, which is...
Right.
So how many people actually work in that sector?
The most
state
increase...
North Dakota does, but...
Yeah, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, Texas. The most increase that was seen of any jobs over the last 5 or 6 years, or maybe 10 years, was the boom in the oil sector. All the jobs that were put on, tremendous increase. So we'll see how, you know, what's going to happen coming up. But it still doesn't stand to reason that we're not seeing a much greater degree of job or any job decline for that matter. None, zero. So we'll see. Wednesday we have the ADP private payrolls coming out. We did see that initial claims have been continuing to be well below 300,000, 275 range or so. But we'll see that. And I'm not sure what my prediction is, but estimates for Friday are somewhere around, I think, 270,000 ads or something? Did I put that on here somewhere? I think it's 270,000 ads. Hmm. And you look at Germany. Germany just reported their lowest jobless rate on record. We have 190,000 is consensus, by the way, on Friday. Wednesday, excuse me, and 183 and a 5% unemployment rate. So there's definitely this disconnect, because we also saw this week that the manufacturing number in the U.S. was still sub 50, which is contraction. We're going to see services, I think, tomorrow. I think it's the service index, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll see what happened there. Do you want to talk about Eagles in Netherlands or Flint, Michigan?
Well, I think we can skip Flint, Michigan, because it's kind of tangled. And I just think the Eagles story is more interesting.
Oh, it's great, isn't it? Have you seen this?
It's about time somebody came up with this.
So it seems that police birds in training, police training birds, eagles, they use a bald eagle, it looks like. I'm not sure what it looks like, a bald eagle.
It is a bald eagle,
right? Yeah.
Got there. But I think they're using mostly goldens.
So they're being trained to take down unauthorized drones. And I put a video on the DH Unplugged show notes. So go over to dhunplugged.com, click on the little down arrow there to see more information. It will unfold. And there's a video in here. And it's a video of a guy holding, you know, with a little tether on his arm, an eagle, and another guy with a little drone doing his thing, lifting off and all that. They let the eagle go. The eagle goes and goes on top and just grabs it with its talons and just takes it.
Yeah, I'm concerned about this aspect, because bigger drones, which are the ones that are more disconcerting, those little blades could chop an eagle's talons off.
I would think so.
Chop off their legs.
Right. But maybe that's what the training's all about.
Oh, no. The eagles aren't that bright. I mean, they're smart. Birds are smart in general, but I don't think they understand that, because you can't see the things when they're spinning around that
right
fast.
I agree, the big ones could be a problem, so I'm not sure how you know an eagle, especially a trained eagle, knows the difference unless the trainer is there and you have a trainer and says, don't get that one, get that one. But then there's another one flying and he goes after it. I still don't understand why we just to take a shotgun and just shoot it.
Yeah, I think at some point they'll be exactly, well, if the things are up in the air, it's pretty hard to hit them. They're way up there, but
Or jam the frequency. Isn't there standard frequencies they used?
Yeah.
Just jam the frequency and for a certain radius.
That would work. There's all these rules about jammers, but I think at this point you have to, like, you know, violate, or not violate, but change the rules. But jammers would work fine.
Or maybe have the eagle train to carry a bag of some kind of rocks or something. Or some kind of...
Or a net.
Yeah, something. Exactly, a net. And just throw it on it and just stop all the rotors from rotating.
Yeah, so I'm skeptical about the eagle thing because of the danger to the eagle's legs.
But it is a good video to watch.
It's very funny.
Chipotle came out with earnings tonight, and initially the stock was up about 4.5%. It's down about 5% after hours. The company beat estimates very nicely, as a matter of fact. They were a little bit short on revenue. Their same-store sales were down like 35% on a monthly basis.
And that's not nothing.
Yeah. My son went to Chipotle the other day. I'm like, what do you think? He said, I don't know. It seems it's fine to me. I'm like, okay.
And then you live through it.
Yeah. Well, and the CDC has ended its investigation today on the food chain and found absolutely nothing that they can find as a source.
Which is even makes it worse.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as I'm concerned, that's not good.
Right. I would have been like, oh, it was the bag of lettuce that you got from this distributor.
That would be good. Yeah. And you'd know exactly, or you could pinpoint it. But if you can't pinpoint it, it's like one of those bugs in computer code that just goes off incidentally and you can't figure out what it is. You can't debug it. And you say, well, it's okay. It's working fine now. And then it stops working again. So this is going to happen again.
Yep, exactly. But what happened was the big beat on earnings seemed to have been because the company put into place a reduction in non-cash stock compensations. In other words, stock compensation. So they cut it dramatically, which allowed them to beat estimates. Think about that for a second. If a company wants to just simply beat estimates, they tell their people, listen, we're going to hold off on any kind of stock comp.
Well, you can make the rationale. You can tell them, look, if we don't do this, the stock's going to be worthless.
Right.
So will you accept this idea? Okay. And so boom. Yep. Yeah.
A couple of things. Ferrari, remember they came public in October of 2015?
Yeah.
This is a classic example of how the public gets they stick it to the public every time the chance they get. When things were kind of going along well, back in October, it was still a little bit dicey back then. Stock goes public, stock's at about $60. At the time when they went public, I'm like, what, Ferrari, they don't have many cars they produce. I don't understand what the deal is with this. I mean, Tesla doesn't produce many cars either, and the stock was pretty hot for a while, but it was a different deal, right? It was an expensive car, but it was brand new technology, very exciting and all that. Ferrari's been around forever. They finally come public. Stock's at 60. Now it's at 34. They missed earnings and they're complaining about slow sales and all that. I just think it's a classic example of how the little guy gets shafted.
I guess it sounds like it.
Yeah. All right, a couple other things
here. I'm going to pick some of that stock up when it's down to 15.
Oh, all right, there you go. You know about ketamine?
Yeah, I think I do.
So ketamine is, I think it's a popular drug. It's a psychedelic drug. Called Special K sometimes. It works in anesthesia rooms. I think it's part of the cocktail they give you when you have surgery. So the one is to put you to sleep. The one is to immobilize you. And it's the one that that I guess is responsible or had been for surgical awareness where people would be totally immobilized and you know, couldn't move, couldn't talk, couldn't do anything. But some people had a situation where they didn't have the other drug work where they put them to sleep, so they were totally aware of all the drilling and cutting throughout the entire surgery. God. Talk about a nightmare, huh?
Yeah.
Can you think of anything worse?
Saw.
Yeah. Oh, we got a bleeder. You know? I guess they're now using... This is also a date rape drug. I guess now they're using this to treat severe depression and has all sorts of really good response. I'm thinking, here's a guy that's really depressed. They can't really find any particular medication that will help and do the job. And then they decide, we're going to paralyze you.
God.
And you're going to feel so much better. And it seems like people are like, yeah. That was great. I guess it paralyzed them so they don't even feel their depression, maybe, at least for a period of time.
Or they probably think about something else.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the game here. A couple things. First of all, nobody guessed the exact amount of money in the Guess the Money contest. People were very close, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to mention the names of the people that were very close. Should I mention the name?
Go ahead.
I don't know if I could say this name. I'm not going to tell you what the guest was. I'm going to tell you that Evadkomos Bear, very close. James Bartels, secondly, very close. And Paul Saint Laurent, whose wife is Eve, by the way. Just kidding.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, thanks. Was very close. But what we're going to do is, because nobody guessed it exactly, don't forget, we're giving away a $100 Amazon gift card for those that can get it. Go over to this episode of the DH Unplugged. Go look on the show notes, and we're going to give everybody one more shot at guessing how much money is in the picture. So all you have to do is go over to DH Unplugged and click on the show notes area. And
now, then, is every one of the bills visible?
There's a couple that are not hidden, but they're pretty behind one. You know, there's a little bit sticking.
But they're
out.
Not completely behind.
No.
All right. Give him a second shot at it.
Second shot. Do you want me to give him a little bit of a range or something?
No. You can get the range themselves.
The range is Amazon's earnings from 80 million to 400 billion.
Yeah, there you go.
No, kidding. All right, let's get to the stocks. Let's take a look. There's another game that we play. This is not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation at all. If you choose to use any of our ideas, do it at your own risk. You know, this is not something that we're recommending. We're just coming up with some ideas. Although there's a lot of people that are very addicted, by the way, to our game, because I get comments all the time from people like, oh, where's the stock picks? What's going on with them? We have this listed on DH Unplugged, and you can follow this because it's a live updating a site or a spreadsheet that shows all this. We're actually going to come out with a big update to this, really cool, which is fully automated very shortly, but right now we're still using the same. We have a lot more names a couple of names that came off. Avago Technologies came up. Actually, this is interesting. That's very interesting, actually. You know, Avago merged or bought Broadcom. It's still called Avago here. I thought that was interesting because sometimes it's called Broadcom. It was up about 8%. I thought it was up about 8% today. That's interesting. Anyway, you were stopped out of that, down about 1%. And JetBlue, I was stopped out like on the day it came out as an idea. Mm. We're still holding the iBox high yield bond, which is was short the high yield bond, which goes with my thesis on the high yield bond market. Up 10%. Intel, you're short, up 9%. Under Armour, look at that winner.
Yeah, that's a super winner.
That was last week when I thought that there could be some move on earnings. Up 23% on earnings, and it's up 22% on the game. Mm. Leg Mason down 6%. My pick for this week, Inovio Pharmaceuticals.
Okay, and based on the virus?
They are one of the names that are the talk of one of the companies possibly working on a cure for this.
All right.
So you're going to see at least volatility with that.
Sounds good.
What do you got?
I have one. Yeah. It's based on not only insiders, but it is the an insider who has been nailing the up and down. It's kind of a semi-secular stock. You've heard of it.
Uh-huh.
STX.
Oh, Seagate Technologies.
Yeah, Luxo is the CEO, and he's been playing this stock for a while. He's been selling into the bottom, selling at 50, 40, selling right to the bottom. And now he's turned around. This is his first buy. He just bought $6 million worth.
Wow.
So STX.
All right. Well, we got it down for that. And, of course, just mention again, that go over to the show notes for DH Unplugged this week. We'll make sure to also mention it on Twitter. So if you're following either John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak, that's his Twitter name, or me, Andrew Horowitz, just one word, Andrew Horowitz is my Twitter handle. And you could go over to DH Unplugged, scroll down, you can play the game, and you can see what we're doing here on stocks, or try to guess the amount. And make sure you do so. You just have to quickly log in. There's no cost to do so, of course. We're so kind about that. But you just have to have a username and password so we can track who's, you know, doing their thing there. You can actually go in and guess what is. And if you guessed last week and you didn't guess, you could guess again this week. Just one guess per person, please, per week. Or this is the last week.
We hope.
Yeah. All right. I will talk to you next week, sir.
All right.
All right. Talk to you. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.